If you've ever wondered where we humans got the idea that God is something like a devoted mother or father, today's scripture reading will be of interest to you. It's one of many places in the Bible which use the vocabulary and the imagery of parenting to try to convey insights into the nature and the character of God. Hosea was a prophet who lived several hundred years before the birth of Christ, at a time when mighty powers were threatening the kingdom of Israel and the people had lost track of the source of their purpose and their strength. Hosea used metaphors from family life and from nature to try to convey what the situation looked like and felt like from God's point of view. In this passage, you're going to hear reference to Israel, meaning the people that God chose to shape over a long course of time so that they could be a light to others, and Ephraim, which is the geographically northern part of the kingdom of Israel in those times. Baal refers to the religious totems of the neighboring peoples. Adma and Zeboim were cities that had been destroyed. This is Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went away from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they've refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. A woman named Terry was brought to a long-term care hospital for rehabilitation from a disease which was causing inflammation of her spinal cord and making it impossible to move her arms and legs. It caused other problems too, but I'm going to try to spare you some of the awful details. Suffice it to say that when she was admitted, Terry was extremely skinny, dirty, and exhausted. Terry's first priority when she met with the doctor was to try to get permission to smoke a cigarette. The doctor decided that treatment should begin with a bath, a shampoo, and a nail trim. As spinal cord inflammation subsides, it is possible once again to regain movement and independence, and that was the hope and the plan for Terry. But this is a recovery process that takes a fair amount of time. Terry hadn't been in the hospital more than a few days, however, when her boyfriend Mike showed up to collect her. It was the first of the month. I need to take Terry downtown for her assistance check, explained Mike. She'll be able to sign it over to me, and I can manage it for her. away they went with him pushing the wheelchair, and he promised he would bring her back before the day was out, but he did not. A few days later, Terry was found alone on the street and obviously very sick. By now, she had a severe kidney infection on top of her other issues, and the infection was moving through her bloodstream. After being stabilized at the acute care hospital, she was returned to the rehab facility. With good care, Terry got stronger and regained the ability to stand up on her own. But from time to time, Mike would come by and take her out on an excursion. She always returned from these outings drunk or high. Eventually, she was discharged from rehab because forward progress was being constantly undone by Terry's behavior. There followed further periodic hospitalizations, usually for kidney infection, but once because Mike had beaten her up. Another time, she was found cold, unconscious, and actually without a heartbeat in the middle of winter, alone on the street in her wheelchair. Remarkably, emergency resuscitation efforts worked, and once again, she was brought to the rehab hospital. A few months more improved her condition significantly. And then Mike turned up again with alcohol and drugs, and Terry again left the hospital. If you're getting frustrated just listening to this story, imagine how the doctors and nurses trying to care for her felt. Imagine if you had been Terry's mother or father, the one who had loved her from the moment of her birth and cared for her adoringly and attentively all through infancy and childhood. Imagine the heartbreak. Or maybe you don't even have to imagine it. Maybe you are personally familiar with the heartbreak of watching a beautiful child become an adult who refuses to take care of herself and seems, in fact, bent on self-destruction. This is the feeling revealed by Hosea to be God's feeling, as God watches God's people, in spite of all God's love and all God's efforts, pursue a path of self-sabotage and self-destruction leading to disaster. Eventually, Terry developed open wounds on her sit bones from being in the same position day and night, continually in the wheelchair. Back in the hospital, surgeons had to perform a skin graft in order to try to deal with this damaging situation. And before the recovery from this procedure could get much underway, the first of the month rolled around, Mike appeared. He was given instructions on how to change the dressing and take care of the catheter, but apparently he was either not able or not willing to follow up and do what was needed. Instead, a week later, he assaulted Terry with a 2x4, fracturing her skull and breaking her leg. The sites of her skin grafts within this 1 week had deteriorated so badly that further surgery was impossible. Bandaged, sutured, splinted, immobilized, she was returned to rehab. I recount this distressing story so that we can understand the anguish and the anger that Hosea voices on God's behalf. God's handiwork is constantly being undone. God's guidance has been cast aside. The time and energy that God has poured into God's people, not to mention the love and kindness, have been disrespected and disregarded. The people God cares for are in dire straits, barely alive. They have pursued everything and everybody except the God who gave them life and freedom. They're becoming captive to forces that do nothing but oppress and bind them. God is struggling with how to respond. God, I suspect, is struggling still, since we are hardly better than Terry or the people of ancient Israel when it comes to self-destructive behavior. Collectively, we in our society are doing damage to the environment and to our food and water supplies in ways that can't possibly be good for our health. We are attempting or feeling somehow required to solve all our problems on every level, from the personal to the international, with violence as our first recourse. We participate in economies which ignore God's concern for the weak and the marginalized and fail to offer everyone a chance to contribute, When we become overwhelmed or despairing in the face of all these hard realities, we have a multitude of escapes or purported solutions to choose from, most of which promise things that they cannot deliver. We are prone to falling for the seductions of their glitz and glamour anyway. The results are truly heartbreaking. So how absolutely blessed and astoundingly loved we are that God does not give up on us. God does not abandon us to suffer the consequences of our willful and misguided choices, alone and without hope. God roars the roar of a fierce and profoundly devoted, deeply loyal, stunningly strong, and faithful lion. With this roar, God means to call us back to ourselves. God means to call us home. We read that the children shall come from the west, from the south, from the northeast. I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. The doctor, once again in charge of Terry's treatment when she was returned to Laguna Honda with an open wound on her back, so large and so deep that the white bone of her spine was literally visible through the mess. The doctor was Victoria Sweet. Dr. Victoria took a hard look at the mess and asked herself, I wonder what Hildegard would do. Hildegard lived in Germany during the 12th century. She chose a life of service to God, which took the form of joining an abbey to live among a group of religious women. Hildegard was interested in theology, prayer, music, and medicine. She ultimately became the leader of her community, and she left behind a large body of written and artistic work, which offer a window into her thoughts, her practices, and her habits. Dr. Victoria was a student of those writings and artworks, and she had learned that when it came to healing, Hildegard thought more like a gardener than a mechanic. She did not view a patient as isolated or self-contained, but rather as an entity within a context and a larger environment. She knew that healing involved complex interrelationships and that it took time. As others who studied health and healing prior to the advent of modern medicine, she understood that self-healing arises within organisms as part of their God-given nature, and that as long as nothing interferes, the body will direct itself toward healing. The remedying force depended on was that of the patient's own nature to become itself. Just as, for example, a tomato seed becomes a tomato plant, or a morning glory seed brings forth climbing vines and blue flowers. She believed that even when wounded, a living entity will inevitably work toward turning back into its whole, complete self. So trying to see and think like Hildegard, the doctor decided the first impediment to healing that needed to be removed was all this dead and infected tissue, and also the hard mattress and the wrinkled bed sheets. Terry's wounds and her body would need to be meticulously cleaned often, and she would have to lie face down on a special bed, perhaps not unlike a massage table that we would think of today, maybe a little lighter with wheels on it, so that when needed, this table could support her head, allow her to see through to the ground, and even to wheel herself around a little bit while lying on this bed. Strengthening the internal force, if there was any left inside of Terry, which sought life and health, could perhaps be accomplished, the doctor thought, by good nutrition delivered in the form of food that tasted good, as well as opportunity for deep sleep and exposure to sunlight and fresh air. Peace, rest, and safety were key parts of the prescription. And Dr. Victoria visualized Terry staying at the rehab hospital for as long as it took. Within a few weeks, remarkable healing of the wound was in evidence. And then, predictably, Mike showed up. But now here comes the happy surprise. Mike was asked to wait in the smoking lounge, and Terry was summoned. She wheeled herself on her gurney, face down the whole long hallway of the ward, and joined Mike in the lounge for a private conversation. The two were left alone there for quite some time, then the door opened, and Mike came out, and he left. Terry had sent him away and told him never to come back again. After that, the changes came in rapid sequence. She stopped smoking. Her appetite then improved, and she was able to achieve a healthy body weight. Without the nicotine constricting her blood vessels, the muscles and the skin that was missing on her back began to regenerate and fill in. The hospital dentist repaired her teeth. The optometrist prescribed and fitted her with glasses. Her depression lifted. Her hair grew in, thick and glossy, where once it had been stringy and patchy and dry. She began to take care with her appearance. And when, more than 2 years into the process, the social worker found and contacted Terry's brother in another state, Terry was eager to accept the invitation to be reunited with her family. She relocated in order to share life with them in a place that would be new, a place that represented and could advance her newly reclaimed health and resilience and strength. Somehow, the reverberation of the lion's roar described there in Hosea chapter 11, verse 10, had reached Terry. She'd heard the call and responded, slowly but surely, becoming ever more clearly the self-respecting and life-treasuring person that God created her and nurtured her to be. If it can happen for Terry, it can happen for us and for our world. We can hear God's deep longing for us. We can respond to God's call. Together, turning away from our self-destructive ways, coming back to our true selves, and turning toward healthier, more life-affirming ways of living together on this earth. God is always ready to help us and to guide us, for God's faithfulness is very great. Our prayer this morning is from our hymnal and is meant for the Sundays on which we share in Holy Communion. There's a couple places where the congregation is asked to join in, and at those times the words will appear on the screen. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. You breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join our voices in their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit, O God, anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised that he would remain always with us. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving today as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we together proclaim the mystery of faith, saying together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the lifeblood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his graciousness. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Since you have loved us, O God, and given us confidence that we are your children, we now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.